Pete.
Hey,
is that
Zach,
you?
How are you, buddy?
Good, man. Sorry we got disconnected there.
No, no worries.
So for our listeners, I'm in the Philadelphia airport, and Pete and I had started our podcast talking about free agency and then lost connection. I think it was because the data on my phone wasn't strong enough, but I have connected to free airport Wi-Fi, courtesy of Philadelphia. Thank you, Philadelphia.
All right.
And hopefully, we're good to go now. But Pete, our listeners will not hear what we were saying before. I did want to extend my condolences to you for the Hokies' loss last night in the March Madness field of 64.
Yeah, rough night here in North Dakota on the 920 East Coast tip. Just wasn't their night from start to finish. Disappointing, but hey, we made it in March two straight years. That's a big deal in Blacksburg. So I gotta take the pros where I can find them. Hopefully they come back a little stronger next year.
Yeah,
but
there's always next year.
Crazy tournament so far.
It really has been. Yeah, I mean, you lost your Hokies, and I don't really have a dog in the fight as far as schools. I mean, the school that I normally root for isn't in the tournament. But I did say that Arizona might be the one to upset UVA. If you recall our bracket prediction episode, we had the same exact Final Four, but then just to make it interesting, I deviated in two of the regions, and I said, instead of calling UVA, I'll call Arizona with the upset. And instead, Arizona got upset in the first round by 20 points or so, and it was really not a strong showing from DeAndre Ayton and company. Not good enough. I think the ESPN headline was the death of the Pac-12, and that seems pretty appropriate.
Yeah, but between college football and college basketball this year, they have one tournament win to this point. So you think about all the bowl games they got back in December and then March Madness as well. They were not supposed to win it all, but they were supposed to at least be competitive in both. So not great
right.
If you're on the West Coast right now.
Not great at all. Yeah, absolutely true. And we're going to talk NFL free agency today, so I want to get to that. But speaking of free agency, not sure if you saw this. We talked MLB, NL, and AL East. Last full episode, or two full episodes ago, and we talked about the Yankees lineup and how formidable that was, but how they had really a big hole at second base. They had Brandon Drury penciled in. I don't know if you saw, the Yankees got Neil Walker off the bargain bin. He's now he signed a pretty cheap contract. He's now paid less money than 236 other players who are on active major league rosters, and in him they get a really plus second baseman who's going to add positive value to that club, and I think just create another problem in the Yankees lineup. So I think even more than we thought the other night, the Yankees are looking like the favorites in the East. And this is before even considering that Gleyber Torres, their highly touted third base prospect, could make it up and plug that third base hole for them. So the Yankees are looking really strong. And it's exciting if you're a Yankees fan. Not so much if you're tired of the Yankees-Red Sox dominance of the East, but if you're a Yankees fan, I think you're in a good position. So, and you, Pete, have mentioned Brian Cashman as one of the greatest GMs in the game, and this offseason has made him look like that and has lent credence to your theory. So pretty exciting time for the Yanks.
I agree, and there were also some reports here over the last 24 hours that Manny Machado has been courted pretty significantly by Aaron Judge here over the last week or two. The Major League Baseball is going to look into it, but man, can you imagine if they're able to put Manny Machado at short here in the next 2 years in that lineup?
No,
that'd be
absolutely crazy.
This is insane.
And I mean, I like Didi Gregorius, but I think Machado has a much higher ceiling than Gregorius, so that would definitely be a positive move for the Yankees. And you know, they'd really probably turn around and trade Gregorius for someone who can give him some pitching help. So
yeah,
it'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think the AL East really has the potential to be one of the most exciting races in baseball coming up this year. Regardless of how you feel about these teams, I think if you want to watch offense and you want to watch excitement, the AL East is probably where you're going to be looking between the Yankees and the Red Sox. The rest of the division's kind of give or take, I think. But those two teams, and I mean, they play each other 17 or 18
right.
times this year. You could see some fireworks.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I hope you're right. I mean, I guess it depends on whether or not David Price can stay healthy, which version of Rick Porcello shows up. We know Chris Sale is going to be lights out like he always is, but the Red Sox have a talented squad too. And I hope that everyone on the Red Sox can stay healthy so that they can make it a fun race well into September.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, let's talk NFL. So real briefly, I've got to hop on a plane in just a few minutes, but who do you think is the most improved team coming out of the offseason? So not necessarily well, and obviously we're still in the offseason, coming really out of the first few days of free agency, but not who's the new team to beat, but just who's made the smartest moves, gotten the most bang for their buck so far.
So I was looking at all the teams earlier today when you and I talked about first jumping on the horn to talk about this as you're traveling today. I kind of wanted to go with Minnesota initially because that Kirk Cousins pickup. But, you know, the more I've thought about it, I think we got to give some credit to both the Cleveland Browns as well as the Tennessee Titans, two perennial mediocre teams. The Titans obviously have that one Super Bowl appearance against the Rams back in 2001. But the Tennessee Titans this week cut Matt Cassel, DeMarco Murray, and Denoris Searcy, but signed what feels like about half the Patriots, with their most significant signing, I think, being Deion Lewis and Malcolm Butler. The improvements they've made and the improvements that Cleveland has made over the past couple weeks in trading for Tyrod Taylor out of Buffalo, I am really impressed with these teams who just have fan bases who feel like they are so down and out. I really like the direction that both these teams have gone out of the AFC. How about you?
Yeah, I think so. The Titans weren't really on my radar. I mean, I think the Titans have made some moves that were necessary, like cutting DeMarco Murray. I think everyone saw the writing on the wall. But I do like your call out of the Browns. Now, I'm a little more hesitant to say that these are great moves because we've seen the Browns make splashy moves in the offseason, and they, I don't know what it is. Their front office just doesn't do due diligence. They don't have a good scouting department. But, you know, it seems like it might look like at the outset they're getting some bargains that no one else saw from the outside, but they don't actually pan out. So I'm kind of hesitant to point to the Browns. I was thinking of the Niners and the Bears. I'll just go with the Bears now. I mean, so the Bears really upgraded their receiving core. They signed Taylor Gabriel from the Falcons, and the bigger signing was Allen Robinson of the Jags. He's coming off a torn ACL. But this guy, I think, has a ceiling to be like a top three receiver in the NFL. And so they're pretty clearly trying to work with a few years that they have. Mitchell Trubisky on a rookie contract. It's going to be cheap. They can spend their money to build around him. And I think they're doing that well. And then their other signing, the one that I think is the big one, apart from re-signing Mukamara as their CB, is signing Trey Burton away from the Eagles. And I've watched Burton a lot as an Eagles fan. But this guy's a really dynamic pass catcher who's good in open space and has really sure hands. And I think just given Trubisky that security blanket as a tight end is a really important thing to do. So, it'll be interesting to see what Chicago does with the new head coach, new regime here. But I think that's a team definitely to watch. Go ahead.
I thought it was a puzzling move with Allen Robinson going to Chicago. When you think about the quarterback talent that he could have been around in Jacksonville with Blake Bortles, it's really, really surprising for me to go to Mitch Trubisky. He was such a high pick last year. He was so heralded coming out of UNC, but he just hasn't shown me yet what he's really capable. So I'm thinking that all these guys who get paid a lot more money than I am to scout out these teams really like something in Mitch Trubisky that I'm just not seeing right now. So it was a puzzling move to me. I agree. It's a huge move to get Allen Robinson. I also real quickly want to touch back, because I know we only got you for a couple more minutes, on your comment about Cleveland and going for the high-profile moves. The reason why I like this move so much, aside from being a huge Tyrod Taylor fan, was that it wasn't the flashiest move. They didn't go out and draft Baker Mayfield in the first, like we've seen them do with so many quarterbacks in the past. I love that they went for a quarterback who is known for being consistent, a quarterback who is in no way, shape, or form flashy. I mean, anyone who follows Tyrod Taylor on Twitter knows that he's incredibly humble. Obviously, he's a Hokie, so I'm pretty partial to him. But at the same time, he's just known for being a good dude who doesn't throw a lot of picks, probably isn't going to win the Super Bowl with you, but is going to be consistent. I love the Tyrod Taylor pickup, and I love that they put so many tools around him. Again, not top-tier tools, but enough tools that I think the Cleveland Browns, no kidding, are contenders. And this could be the cold take of a lifetime in 9 months, but I think the Cleveland Browns are now contending in their division.
Yeah, just contenders to win the division, so not actually like real playoff contenders?
Yeah, I'm going to keep them to a division contender.
Okay,
right now.
I mean, I think that's reasonable. They do play in the lesser conference, after all. That's probably reasonable. But I mean, I think I would say their ceiling is probably like 6 wins next year. And I just say that because Hugh Jackson has not won many football games at all as an NFL head coach. And you know, I don't think he's a bad coach necessarily, but he just doesn't have the experience that I think is helpful to get your feet under you and understand how to do game management when you have a lead, right? How to protect a lead, for example. That's a big thing to learn. So
sure.
I'd like to see Hugh Jackson come along a little way. But I agree with you. I think the Tyrod Taylor signing is great. We'll see, though. I mean, Tyrod has not played in a drop-back offense. I don't think he's incapable of that. I just think his strengths are more mobile. You know, a comp would be Vic, which I know you're familiar with as a Hokies guy. So I don't know. We'll see how Tyrod does, but you know, we're rooting for him. We're probably Tyrod's biggest fan. We should just rebrand our podcast, the Save Tyrod Taylor podcast or something.
I'll let our social media manager know that he needs to change the Twitter handle.
Perfect. Sounds good. Yeah, just add Save Tyrod Taylor. Yeah, perfect.
Real quick, what do you think about what Arizona's doing right now with their signing of Sam Bradford, maybe Mike Glennon, letting Tyrann Mathieu go? What do you think is going on in Arizona?
Yeah, you know, I saw a stat that if Bradford sees the entirety of his $20 million guaranteed contract with the Cardinals, he will have made $134 million for what is to date 34 wins as an NFL starting quarterback. And that type of return for that amount of money is something that we've never seen before, as far as just money the teams have thrown at a quarterback without you know, getting the W's. And as an Eagles fan, you know, I saw this personally. I think Bradford seems like a decent guy. I think he's got talent, but he has talent in a system that's built around him to support him. And I don't think he's a plug-and-play quarterback. I don't think you can just ship him off to Minnesota and have him work there. I don't think you can ship him off to Arizona and have him work there. And on top of that, he can't stay healthy. And that's really the bigger thing with him. So yeah. I'm not sure what the Cardinals are thinking that they have in Bradford, because he's shown time and time again to not be able to stay on the field. He's torn both ACLs in his knees. We know he has bone-on-bone damage in one of those. And it's just a matter of time before he's, you know, riding the bench because he's injured. And they're going to owe him a lot of money in that contract. So what do you think?
It's just a totally different system to bring Sam Bradford in opposed to what Bruce Arians ran in the past. Obviously, it's a whole new head coaching regime in Arizona, and they kind of have to rebuild. But I don't understand paying Sam Bradford so much. And again, kind of going back to the Mitch Trubisky point, every team pays Sam Bradford incredible amounts of money, and he's been out of college for a long time. So there must be something they see in him that they really like that us casual fans just don't see. But I really hate letting Tyrann Mathieu go. Obviously, you knew I had a lot of issues with the Redskins. Letting Fuller walk. I'm sorry, not letting him walk, but trading him away to pick up Alex Smith. But it just seems like these teams who are struggling for an identity so much need to focus on these dynamic spark plug defensive players to build a franchise around, build a brand, and have a way going forward. I don't know how much of a pay cut they asked him to take that he wouldn't take, and that's why he walked away. But it just seems like if you're Arizona, I think you're still on the downward slope. I think you got to pay these guys in order to make sure that you have a franchise here in 3 to 4 years. You can't build this overnight with a new head coach.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah, so I'm really not sure what they're thinking there. I would much rather see them try to build through the draft, try to get somebody, maybe an overlooked quarterback prospect, or even just get a cheap veteran, you know, more like a Mike Glennon, who they won't have to pay as much money as Bradford. I mean, Bradford, if I was a pro athlete, though, I'd be finding out who Bradford's agent was and trying to get him to work for me, because he's done some amazing stuff. I mean,
he's got to have dirt on everyone in order to get these contracts.
I don't quite understand it, but you know, good luck to Bradford. My plane's boarding now. I've got to run, but real quick, I've got a few closing thoughts. Do you have any closing thoughts on NFL free agency before I sign off?
Last thing I want to point out is just Joe Thomas of Cleveland announcing his retirement week. Kind of bummed me out. What a guy to root for in Cleveland. I'm disappointed to see him go. Hope they can build that offense. And Jordy Nelson to the Raiders was the one deal I absolutely did not see.
Yeah,
this year.
Same here. Absolutely. And I've been a huge Jordy Nelson fan. I think that guy's such a strong worker. Same. I think such a good guy. I did not expect the Packers to cut him. I mean, maybe at worst, a restructuring of the contract. So I was really surprised when they just outright released him. Good pick. Good pickup for Oakland, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll leave you with a couple things. We haven't talked about the Dolphins at all, but I think they're an interesting club to keep an eye on. I'm not sure if they're improving. Yeah. You know, they cut Ndamukong Suh. They signed Danny Amendola away from the Pats, which is, I think, a huge crushing loss for Tom Brady postseason version.
Agreed.
And, you know, Adam Gase is trying to build culture there in Miami. He traded away Jay Ajayi, potentially, some reports said, because he was kind of a toxic person in the locker room. And this is one of a number of moves like this that Gase has made. It'll be interesting to see if it pans out, because I saw the Chip Kelly era in Philly when he tried to do the same thing, and it really ended up backfiring on him, and Chip Kelly did not last much longer after that. So I'm curious to see how the Dolphins do here. They obviously had a terrible season, very disappointing for Dolphins fans last year, and I'm not sure that they're improving so far in the offseason. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on that. A couple other things. I would keep an eye on Terrell Pryor, senior, who I know as a Redskins fan, you know that they released. Yep. So I'm curious to see where he ends up. I think potentially going to the Eagles will be interesting. I think the Eagles like these sort of reclamation projects, like just like Torrey Smith last year, who we released, and Terrell Pryor would probably be commanding a larger salary than the Eagles could afford, but I think he'd be an interesting fit. Also, the Ravens, who just released Jeremy Maclin, they could be a landing spot for Terrell Pryor, and he probably wouldn't even have to move his house since he's already playing in D.C.
Yeah.
The final thing, I'm really interested, Eric Reed, formerly the 49ers, does not have a job. Safety Eric Reed. And he's been pretty public saying that he thinks it's because of his player activism. And I'm curious to see if he could find a landing spot also in Philadelphia, because Malcolm Jenkins has been one of the most vocal players on these issues in the NFL. So the Eagles are obviously supportive or at worst tolerant of that activism. And Eric Reed and Malcolm Jenkins as a 1-2 safety tandem punch in the secondary of Philadelphia, I think would be a really scary thing for opposing offenses. So, you know, that's maybe a dark horse signing. Eric Reed probably going to be commanding more salary than the Eagles have to give since they're already crushed up against the salary cap, but keep an eye on that. If it happens, you heard it here first.
Yeah. Love it. 3 seconds or less. Kirk Cousins to Minnesota. Great deal for Minnesota. Great deal for Kirk Cousins. Great deal for both. What do you think?
I think both. I mean, anytime you have $84 million guaranteed and the highest ever average annual value for a contract, it's great. And Minnesota, I think, was one good quarterback away from a Super Bowl this year. So I think this is a win-win. I think if I'm a betting man, I would right now make Minnesota the early favorites to win next year's Super Bowl. They just have so many of the same returning guys, a lot of good talent, a great coach. I think they're going to be good. What about you?
Totally agreed. You're Kirk Cousins. You get out of the NFC East. You play in a dome. You play with a team who obviously was clicking on all cylinders last year. If you're the Vikings, you finally have some continuity up there, and you can dump some of your other quarterbacks who were good but not going to win the Super Bowl for you. So I think it's a great deal for both.
Yeah. All right, man. Sorry, I can't talk longer. Got to go catch my plane. For our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Third String Podcast. Sorry for the background noise in the airport here. You can follow me at Zach Crippen and Pete at Pete_LaCleed. And until next time, we will talk to you later.